This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
We are celebrating today our 100th show. Why don't we have a cake? Where's the cake?
Budget cuts, man. Budget cuts.
And Chad P.
refused to let Ozzy Osbourne join.
Why?
He apparently wasn't alternative enough.
I'm the Prince of Darkness.
No,
he's not alternative enough.
Class is in.
This is Rock School Take 8. If we're not careful, we may get this show underway. My name is Joe Burns, a professor in the communications department, and I've said that 100 times
100
now.
Times.
100 times. Sitting to my immediate right, and I've said that 100 times. You are...
Chad P.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the 100th time, this is Rock School. We are celebrating today our 100th show. Why don't we have a cake? Where's the cake? Isn't there normally a cake?
Budget cuts, man. Budget cuts.
There has to be a cake. We see these things on TV, like House just had its 100th show.
Correct.
There was a cake. ER had its 100th show. There was a cake.
You're all up on Facebook. Shouldn't you have a friend on there that knows how to bake?
Oh, I do, but they all live, you know, back in Ohio. That's the only friends I have. Nobody around here wants to be my friend. So, well, that's it. 100 of them, which means in about 3 or 4 shows, we will have our 2-year anniversary. For our 2-year anniversary, can you please go to the cheap people that run this radio station and see if they can't get us a cake? I don't care if they're cupcakes, which, by the way, aren't really cakes.
No.
They're icing delivery devices. So thank you so much, Chad. 100 shows almost 2 years ago that basically you came up with this idea.
Pardon
of
me?
Asking. Well, yeah, you asked me to come on the show, the KSLU Fun Drive, and then it sort of morphed into this. So without you asking, this show would have never come about. So literally the most of the credit goes to you. And
wow.
100 show. I don't
save that.
Yeah, put that on tape. So thank you so much for doing that, and thanks for putting up for 100 shows.
I enjoy it. This is like therapy for me.
Oh, well.
I think it all began when my father wouldn't take me to the circus.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I want to do a show!
All right. Well, good. That's enough. Enough patting on the back. It's beautiful outside, is it not?
It's very nice.
The cold is gone, the heat is coming around, and it's time to start thinking about what shows you're going to go see this summer. I have all these places bookmarked that, you know, the Beau Rivage out in Biloxi,
mm-hmm.
and the places down in New Orleans, and the places out in Baton Rouge, and what shows I'm going to get a babysitter for, and what shows I'm going to go see. I have here for you 3 of the summer festival concerts that have gone on for many, many summers. Some of them are defunct, and some of them are still going on. And I figured, since it's beautiful, since it's summer, we need a happy topic for this, our 100th show. I figured we'd talk about them.
Wonderful!
Lollapalooza!
Oh, man!
Do you know where Lollapalooza came from?
Yes, I do.
Tell me, who came up with it?
It came from the brain of the lead singer of Jane's Addiction, Perry Farrell.
That's right.
Or Farrell, however you want to say it.
Whichever one. I have heard it both ways. So what we're going to do is play a real quick Perry Farrell.
Whatever.
I can't think of another way to say Perry. We'll play a real quick one from Jane's Addiction. We'll come back. We'll tell you where Lollapalooza came from and tell you some of the bands that have played in the festival. See if we can't entertain you just for a little bit. 100 shows.
100,
dude.
Are you
kidding me? Mountain Song. Rock School. Love the sound. Love the sound Dave Navarro gets out of that guitar. He's not a speed demon, but he gets a nice sound. He plays the chords nice and solid. Real good stuff. Perry Farrell, I'm going to go with Farrell because that's the way I've always said it. Perry Farrell. Apparently, where the police at Lollapalooza came from, Jane's Addiction had ran on him. He had had enough, and he was looking for a way to say goodbye. He wanted to go out, and he wanted to do stuff on solo. And he decided that he would find a way to do a goodbye to Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple things came together in his head as we talk about Lollapalooza here. He was tired of mainstream radio ignoring independent rock music, indie rock music. In 1991, he said, why don't we have an outdoor festival? You know, a single festival, a thing where a lot of people can come together. Because at that time, during the summer of 1990, he had seen something called A Gathering of Tribes. This was Bill Graham and Ian Astbury, lead singer of the band The Cult.
Yeah, The Cult.
They had put something together called A Gathering of Tribes, and he said, we could do that. So he decided to create this thing, this gathering of independent and alternative rock, hip-hop, punk, dance, comedy performance, craft booths. If he, in his mind, he said, if I bring all this together, what I can do is create such a broad spectrum that anyone can come. It's not just, well, this is just indie bands. Well, I've got, you know, hip-hop over here, so all the hip-hop crowd can come.
Yep.
And over here I've got indie, and I've over here got comedy, and over here I've got this, and over here I've got that. And it's one of these things that was just an idea that began to steamroll again and again. And the thing happened annually from 1991 to 1997. Any idea where the name Lollapalooza came from?
I read about it a long time ago, and I forgot. Tell me.
Three Stooges cartoon.
What?
Apparently, Perry Farrell was a huge fan of the Three Stooges, and they used to put palooza on the end of things. Mm. And at one point in time, they said Lollapalooza. And he went, get that. And he wrote it down, and that became the name of this huge concert.
Pretty much everything.
Thing.
Everything.
A lot of groups got their name by being given a shot at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Especially this one.
Who?
From the album Spend the Night. Here's the Donnas, an all-girl group, and they rock pretty good. Take it off. Rock School. What? What are you going to say?
I was going to tell you something.
Okay, go ahead.
I've told you time and time again, probably a good 100 times.
Yes.
I don't listen to lyrics. If it's got a good groove to it, a good melody, a good beat, I'm sold.
Okay, go ahead.
This is one of the first songs I actually paid attention to the lyrics, and I went,
well, yeah.
I know what she's talking about.
No, yeah. She's discussing, I can't come up with anything clever.
Right.
Yeah, it's just straightforward. Apparently, Perry Farrell has been given a grant by the government to just go ahead and print his own money because he can make it faster than he can print it. No, that's not true. But he's become unbelievably wealthy because of this. Now, I said that they've been doing this annually, Lollapalooza, from 1991 to 1997. It was after 91 that they added the second stage, Lesser Bands. That's how the Donnas got a shot and then got themselves a record contract and went out and have had a fairly decent run. If you go on YouTube, you can see it. And they've remained a fairly local band, but have had some national. That one there, Ticket Off, did pretty, fairly well for them.
Yep.
In 96, though, Farrell didn't want to run it anymore. So what he did is he sold the rights to the festival to the William Morris Agency, and the thing went mainstream. And, you know, it's an indie.
What do you mean he got tired of it?
Well, you run it. You're running, as you will not stop telling me off air, you're running one concert right now.
Yes.
And your life has spun out of control.
No, the
has
reason,
it not?
It has. It has.
It's difficult.
I understand
this
that.
This guy's running a summer festival.
Yes, I understand that. But you said that the reason behind Lollapalooza was a goodbye to Jane's Addiction. How many times do you have to say goodbye?
Well, that was its original thought process. Now it's just become a monster in and of itself.
Okay.
When he hands it over to William Morris, they want to make money. William Moore, well, you know, that's what they do. So the concept kind of ran into trouble right around 2003. It had to be canceled in 2004. Apparently, Farrell priced the concert right out of the fans' price range.
Oh.
People were starting to show up. I'd like to see this. The concert tickets are going to be $200. What?
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm. I can't afford that. And what happened was people just wouldn't come. So another group that did very well through Lollapalooza, the Smashing Pumpkins. We're going to play Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
Corgan's group.
That's right. Interesting thing, it was during the performance of the Smashing Pumpkins in 1994, Billy Corgan came to the front of the stage and announced the death of Kurt Cobain.
Then
played Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
Dang.
Rock School.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyer.
The theme song to Willard, the remake of Willard.
With Crispin Glover.
With Crispin Glover.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The rat movie.
Well, at least it wasn't Ben, which was Michael Jackson.
Yes, it was.
That wraps up Lollapalooza. What do you say we talk about the Lilith Fair, another summer concert run?
We have to tone it down then.
Yes, we do. We must be very, very calm.
And
we'll be back to talk about that in just a moment. Hello, WESU, Middletown, Connecticut. Thanks for running Rock School.
Hello, KLSU, Tiger Ray. Sorry. KLSU, Tiger Radio, a Rock School affiliate right down the street in Baton Rouge.
That kitten radio.
That's right.
iTunes as well. Get us on iTunes. Hey, give them the email address. We don't do that enough.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. We just did a promo the other day, and I had to play a French accent.
Very good, Frenchie.
Thank you.
Be back in 1 minute. Rock School. Hey now, this is Rock School, and we're talking about summer festivals. We're going to do Lilith Fair in a moment, but first, I believe Chad wanted to talk about KLSU.
Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and give a little shout-out to KLSU. My very good friend Amanda Sager is the station manager down there, and those guys just completed their first ever fundraiser, which was very, very successful, so we want to congratulate those guys, and we also want to thank them for helping to cross-promote this concert that you were talking to me about a while ago. I'm going to give you full details about that in just a minute, but props to KLSU. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Excellent. The Lilith Fair. If you don't know who Lilith is, the name Lilith comes from medieval Jewish legend that Lilith was Adam's first wife.
What?
Eve, Eve apparently was not Adam's first wife. Lilith decided to leave the garden to explore the world.
Mm.
So that's where the name came from.
I like the Three Stooges concept better.
Well, this is just a touch too deep. Can't I just get a couple large drinks and watch the music? Do I have to learn all about medieval Jewish legend? The Lilith Fair was founded by musician Sarah McLachlan, and it consisted solely of female solo artists and female-led bands, which is why it was often nicknamed Breastfest or Girlapalooza.
What?
There's the note.
That's where it came from.
Oh, yeah. In 1996, Sarah McLachlan became frustrated with all these concert promoters and radio stations that refused to feature two female musicians in a row. I hate to say it, but we had at one of my radio stations a consultant, and that was one of his rules. You can't play two female artists back-to-back.
Really?
I don't know why. I thought it was a dumb rule, but that was one of the rules.
Well, apparently some thought went into it.
I guess.
Didn't just come up with it. I would hope not, anyway.
Bucking the conventional industry wisdom, she booked a session of tours for herself and Paula Cole, and out they went. And that became the original idea for the Lilith Fair.
And her first supporter was probably our boss back in March.
Yeah.
Diana.
Yeah, who enjoyed it. Yeah, the Hell Hath No Fury show.
Exactly.
So here's one from the woman who started it. Sarah McLachlan, Building a Mystery. Rock School.
A little Scooby-Doo inspired music.
In the Mystery Machine.
That's right.
As we talk about the Lilith Fair, one of the three summer concerts or summer venues that we're going to talk about during this hour. During the Lilith Fair, it was different than Lollapalooza, and the third one we're going to talk about a little later on, in that the Lollapalooza had a set lineup that traveled around. The Lilith Fair did not.
Okay.
They basically took who they could get at each one of the stops. The lineup changed venue to venue. The only constant was McLaughlin. Now, there were many times that a group would stick with them for five or six or maybe 10 shows, but there was no guarantee of who was going to be at each one of the venues, and it was done that way so that if Sheryl Crow was playing somewhere, she could come in and knock out three shows and then go back on tour. So here are some people that actually performed on the Lilith Fair over the years 97 to 99 when this thing was so large. Sandra Bernhardt, Sean Colvin, Deborah Cox, the Dixie Chicks, Indigo Girls, Queen Latifah, Luscious Jackson, Martina McBride, Monica, The Pretenders, Suzanne Vega, a slew of others, including Meredith Brooks, and this woman, Liz Phair. This is Extraordinary on Rock School.
Everyday saying psycho.
You know, I'm going to catch heck from some people for playing that Liz Phair song.
Why?
Because she has so much grunge and alternative stuff before she decided to go a little poppy. She also had another hit called Why Can't I? And somebody's going to write in and say, why would you play that newer stuff and not some of the older alternative stuff? Because she curses constantly in the older stuff.
She's trying to make it easy on me, people, okay?
Right.
Give me a break.
We decided to take one where she didn't say the F word every nine words. Okay, you wanted to say something about this concert that you are promoting here at the radio station.
Go ahead and plug the concert. It's the first ever KSLU Listener Appreciation Concert, and it's going to be Thursday, May 7th, right here in Hammond at Chevy's Nightclub. Appearing that night is going to be local band Nod, Mr. Eric Lindell, a blues rock artist out of New Orleans, and the Benji Davis Project. Three bands, one wonderful night of music. And if you want additional information, you can call this here radio station, KSLU, at 985-549-2330. Folks, I'm not lying to you. I'm working on this concert 24/7.
He really is.
Yeah.
I had to peel him off of his desk to come do this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go back?
Yeah.
Let's do 7 days in 70 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Monday, April 20th through Sunday, April 26th. And if I'm not mistaken, Chad has Monday.
I do. April 20th in 1964, the Elvis Presley movie Viva Las Vegas premiered.
April 21st, back in 1990, Sinead O'Connor reaches number one with Nothing Compares to You, the number two and the letter U. Thanks, Prince.
How about that? On April 22nd, there it is. I lost my notes. April 22nd, 1976, Mr. Johnny Taylor's Disco Lady became the first single to sell over 2 million copies.
Yeah, back when singles didn't do that. April 23rd, 1985, Liberace first appears on a TV soap opera, Another World. He will then be a guest VJ on MTV later that afternoon.
I've always wanted to be a VJ. I really did.
Well, it's too bad. They don't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. April 24th, 1990, while constructing the set for The Wall, you know, Pink Floyd's The Wall.
That's right.
Well, they're constructing the set for that concert in Potsdamer Platz, Berlin.
Yeah.
Roger Waters' road crew discovered an unexploded World War II bomb.
What?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
A bomb! Roger, a bomb!
April 25th in 1956, Elvis Presley earns his first number one, Heartbreak Hotel. And on April 26th back in 1977, Get Out Your Giant Crescent Moons with a Coke Spoon. Studio 54 opens up in New York. And that was 7 days in 70 seconds. Let's play one more from the Lilith Fair. This woman played almost every year this thing was out, which was 3 years. Lisa Loeb, I Do, from the album Firecracker, Rock School. Someone's fade out early.
Hello, got a show to do.
It said there's 23 seconds left and the song's fading out.
Show's, you know, show's still going on. I know Lisa Loeb looks good with her glasses, but we got a show to do.
Stop staring at the compact disc. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe Burns. To the immediate right of me is
Chad P.
And we are talking about three summer festivals because the sun's out, it's getting warm. except maybe up in Connecticut where they're running this show at WESU. But here in the great state of Louisiana, nice and warm summers here, so we're talking about three summer festivals. And the next one is, you want to talk?
Well, no, I just want to talk. I just want to know if we're moving on.
We are.
Okay.
We're moving on.
No more. Find me a bra to burn.
No more girl groups. No more girl groups. We're moving on to
Ozfest!
Ozfest, ladies and gentlemen. We have here for you Ozfest. You know, the festival was not, at first, a touring festival. It was created out of spite.
What?
Sharon? Sharon Osbourne would do something out of spite? No, no, stand back. It was created in 1996 when the people of Lollapalooza refused to let Ozzy Osbourne join.
Why?
He apparently wasn't, what would you call it, alternative enough.
I'm the Prince of Darkness.
No,
we don't alternative enough.
He wasn't. He apparently was part of the old guard, and they said, no, you're not enough of a draw.
Wow.
So what? Osbourne and Sharon. Apparently Jack is involved in it as well. I don't know what's the girl's name? Let's just call her
Piggy.
Debbie. What did you call
Kelly.
Her?
Kelly. Her name.
What did you call her?
Piggy.
Piggy? What an awful thing to say.
She's a little plump. Her name is
Kelly. The first Ozfest was not a tour, but rather a two-day festival held in Phoenix, Arizona, and somewhere in California, October 25th and 26th, back in 1996. This band, the one we'll start with, did not play at that, but rather joined the tour in 2000. This is Queen of the Stone Age. No One Knows. Rock School.
Buenas tardes, señoras y señoritas. Aquí está el DJ Héctor Bonifacio Echeverría Cervantes de la Cosa Nueva Rojas.
That's the album version.
That's for our Salamanca listeners.
That's from the album cut. Hey, by the way, I didn't say that. I was going to say this going into it. But Josh Homme, the Queen of the Stone Age lead singer, he said that playing at Ozfest, apparently Ozfest works on a very shoestring budget.
Okay.
There's not exactly a nice deli tray backstage. They work on a very shoestring. He said it was the worst gig and he hated it. Sharon Stone. Wow.
What?
Sharon Osbourne.
What's you?
Well, 9.5 weeks, one of the movies I saw growing up. Sharon Osbourne said through a spokesperson that he should get syphilis and die.
Wow. Say what you really mean, Sharon.
Hello, KSCL. How are you? Thanks for running Rock School.
Hello, Radio Universidad Salamanca, Spain. Gracias.
And iTunes, by all means. You gotta do it.
You said a while ago that Queens of the Stone Age weren't in the first edition of Ozfest, right?
Uh-uh.
Where were they?
Probably playing Lollapalooza. So, wow, did you hear that? Like two outfielders going for the same joke. Pow! We got to go. Take 1 minute. Back on Rock School.
Okay,
this is Rock School.
Are we reset?
We're fine. I would never lost my composure one bit. You're
not
the one
all.
That laughed so much. No, I'm completely fine.
You're a funny guy.
Ozfest, as we talk about. By the way, wouldn't it be nice to find out that your concert was free?
Well,
not
what?
Yours particularly, but a concert you wanted to go to was free.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt. Ozfest went free in 2007.
Get out!
It was announced. Now, you couldn't just show up. You had to get a ticket, but the tickets were free. In 2007, Ozfest tickets went free of charge, dubbing Ozfest as FreeFest. What Sharon Osbourne did was find sponsorship money for the tour. Now, when you went, you were bombarded with advertising, obviously, and, everything. Yeah, you still had to buy your beer, and you still had to buy all your food and such, but everything was sponsor crazy, but you got everything for free. Furthermore, the bands weren't even paid.
Wow.
They played for free, but Ozzy and Sharon went home with a profit, believe it or not.
Wow.
Zakk Wylde, he is the lead guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne's band. He has a band of his own called Black Label Society, and they play at Ozfest. Here's one from them, Concrete Jungle, Rock School. I love the sound of that guitar. One of those big, giant Gibson Les Pauls. They make them special for him with the bullseye logo on them. Zakk Wylde of the Ozzy Osbourne band. great stuff. Actually reproduces a lot of the Randy Rhoads stuff better, I think. Plays it very, very well. We're going to wrap up with Ozfest since we have time for one more song here. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a couple other things. MTV held in 2004 a contest called A Battle for Ozfest.
I remember it.
Your band could actually gain a spot. The band A Dozen Furies won and played the whole way through.
I always pictured how the auditions for Ozfest were set up. Like, you have Ozzy and Sharon sitting in a little room. He's like, hi, my band's name is the Black Boards. All right, let's hear it. You've got it.
Yeah, fantastic. In 2008, Ozfest went down to a one-day event, and Sharon Osbourne has just announced that Ozfest will come back and tour again as a multi-venue tour.
You said Ozfest was a free show, yet you had to get a ticket.
Well, they couldn't just let anybody in. There was the concept of fire codes and number of bathrooms. You had to get a ticket.
Well, I understand that.
It was not just free for all.
So how did you go about doing that?
Sure it was a concept of you had to go and buy the ticket through Ticketmaster, but it was just until the tickets are gone. You know when you go to Ticketmaster and sometimes it'll say, you may only buy 5 tickets?
Right.
And it was something like that. You weren't just allowed to go and do it.
How did you obtain tickets if they were free?
So you would just first come, first serve. That's okay. What I would think. Let me tell you something that happened with Iron Maiden, and we'll finish up with Iron Maiden. At their performance, August 20th, 2005, at the Hyundai Pavilion, Glenn Helen in San Bernardino, California, showed, at San Bernardino, California, a lot of bad stuff happened. During the Maiden show, out comes the group, and they're getting pelted with eggs, bottle caps, ice, cups.
What?
All kinds of stuff.
Why?
I don't really know. Bruce Dickinson's microphone gets cut off 3 times.
Oh, no.
And you can hear what's going on, obviously, with the microphone off, and he's screaming that Ozfest is doing this to him. He's blaming Ozfest. They finish their set, and when it's over, Sharon Osbourne comes out on stage to apologize. And while she's apologizing, stating that they absolutely love Iron Maiden, she gets booed off the stage.
The crowd turned
on Iron Maiden, basically stating, you're not young enough, you're not hip enough, you're silly. And the crowd turned on Maiden.
Wow.
And that's that. Ron Smallwood is the manager for Iron Maiden. He issued a statement shortly after stating that the whole thing was just a simple attack on the band, and Iron Maiden has never played Ozfest since.
Well, yeah.
San Bernardino turned on Iron Maiden.
Wow.
You know what they should have done?
What?
Run for the hills.
Oh, didn't.
Hey, my name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
That wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Class is dismissed.